And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome back to Full Time with Meg Linehan. I am Meg, and as always, you are listening to a show all about women's soccer on the Athletic Podcast Network. Have a big episode for you today with Ada Hegerberg joining the show. Her return to the Norway team is obviously huge news, but she also wanted to dig into a specific topic, and it was one that I was always going to want to talk about. Thrilled to have her join the show, especially ahead of Champions League action on Wednesday and Thursday, but more on that in a second. Before we get to the rest of today's episode, as always, to show your support of Full Time, plus get all of our women's soccer coverage and everything else The Athletic has to offer on our site and app, you can subscribe right now at theathletic.com/fulltime. It's always one of our very best deals at that link. All right, let's start, as always, with the news highlights. This week, though, they are definitely rough to start with, I'm not going to lie, because three major injuries this week across the NWSL on Monday morning. Marta shared that she had sustained an injury over the weekend. Now, if you watched that Orlando Pride match, it was honestly awful to watch, but also to listen to because of the field mics. She did share that she expects to be out for a while, but the team has not sent out a formal update with more information on the medical part of it yet. Then the Chicago Red Stars announced that center back Tierna Davidson would miss the entire season after tearing her ACL at training. And then on Tuesday, the Kansas City Current announced that Lynn Williams was also out for the entire season after severing what they called an acute leg injury in the very first match of the Challenge Cup. So just awful news across the board. And just, I really hope we do not see any more of these. I do not want to write any more headlines about season-ending injuries. It's awful. So on a related note, some of these injuries really forced U.S. Women's National Team head coach Vlatko Andonovski's hand while picking his roster for the two upcoming friendlies against Uzbekistan. Those are happening next month. Here's the full 23-player roster. We've got a headline up on the site if you missed this. But goalkeepers, we've got Bella Bixby from Portland Thorns, Aubrey Kingsbury from the Washington Spirit, and Alyssa Nayer from the Chicago Red Stars. There are seven defenders on this roster: Alana Cook from OL Reign, Abby Dahlkemper from San Diego Wave FC, Imani Dorsey from Gotham FC, Emily Fox from Louisville, Sophia Huerta, OL Reign, Naomi Gurma from the Wave, Kelly O'Hara from Washington Spirit. Eight midfielders: Lindsay Horan with Lyon, Jalen Howell from Louisville, Rose Lavelle, the Reign, Katarina Macario, Lyon, Christy Mewis and Sam Mewis, Gotham and Kansas City Current, respectively. And then two Washington Spirit midfielders in Ashley Sanchez and Andy Sullivan. Finally, five forwards, again, Washington Spirit with a couple of players here, Ashley Hatch and Trinity Rodman. Got Mal Pugh from the Chicago Red Stars, Midge Purse from Gotham FC, and finally, Sophia Smith from Portland Thorns FC. So before we get to this international window, are you ready to watch truly so many games this week? Because we've got Champions League quarterfinal. The second legs are happening on Wednesday and Thursday. Make sure you tune in, of course, to Lyon versus Juventus on Thursday to see if Lyon can come up with a comeback. Not just for today's guest, Ada Hegerberg, but hey, you can watch Kat Macario at the club level. It is fun, I promise. She likes to score goals too. All of these matches are streaming via DAZN's YouTube channel. There is a link in the show notes for you. There's also just a truly absurd amount of NWSL games this week, with Wednesday night full of games. Unfortunately, we are back to overlapping start times again, and then a full weekend of matches too ahead of the international break. So here we go. Wednesday, March 30th, that is today if you're listening to when the episode drops, things start off with Orlando Pride hosting Gotham FC, 7 p.m. I'm just going to say it now. All of these games are on Paramount Plus if you're in the United States, and of course Twitch if you are an international viewer. So Orlando versus Gotham to start us off at 7. Then we've got Washington Spirit versus North Carolina at 7:30. Also at 7:30, all of these times Eastern too, by the way, Chicago Red Stars versus Racing Louisville FC. 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, Houston Dash versus Kansas City Current. 10 p.m., so it's going to be late night, Portland Thorns versus Angel City. Okay, then we go to Saturday. So things are going to start with Kansas City Current versus Racing Louisville FC. That one's on Paramount Plus. Now, the big game this week is we've got San Diego hosting Angel City. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern, and this is the game that is on Big CBS. It's an important distinction here, but also will be streaming on Paramount Plus. Then we actually do have a little bit of a break. Chicago Red Stars will host Houston at 8 p.m. Eastern, and then Portland versus OL Reign, 10 p.m. Eastern on Paramount. So Saturday's got a couple really, really good matchups for us. On Sunday, April 3rd, Gotham FC hosts the Courage at 3 p.m. Eastern, Paramount Plus, and Washington Spirit hosts Orlando Pride at 4 p.m. Eastern on Paramount Plus. In theory, I might be actually seeing you at Red Bull Arena on Sunday. We're going to find out. All right. Now, I'm not entirely sure how much of an introduction one of the top players in the world needs. The list of honors she has won goes for many, many, many line items. So here's the short version. Ada Hegerberg is very good at scoring goals. She holds the record for most UEFA Women's Champions League goals with 56. 52 of those are coming from her time with Lyon, and also the record for most in a single season of Champions League with 15. Now, she's fully back with the club after a long injury layoff, and then she also recently announced her return to playing with Norway. Now, I mentioned this on last week's show. Katie Wyatt wrote a great piece about her return to the international game and how we all need to cherish her talent now that it's back. I've kept that link in the show notes for you, but let's not delay any longer. Here's Ada. All right, I know that we've got some limited time here, so I just kind of wanted to launch right in with you. First of all, I definitely appreciate the time. I think it's such an interesting time for you, right? Like, obviously a lot is happening. I just honestly kind of wanted to start with just like, what has life been like since the announcement coming back? And, you know, what have you seen in terms of a reaction?
Well, first of all, it's been a very positive vibe. The whole feedback, people have been very happy, which is very motivating for myself to see as well. The daily life has been pretty much the same, focused, you know. It's all about the next, and kind of happened at the worst timing as well. But I fell ill last week, missed out on a very big game, so was gutted. But getting those news out was very positive, and now I'm just like trying to stay very sharp this week, very important week, before it's about shifting focus towards the national team again.
Right. I mean, there is, in this world of women's football, it feels like everything happens all of the time. Always, like, it's just everything is happening. Champions League, right? The national team return, just league, like everything is always stacked all on top of each other. Like, what is it like from, I mean, I feel like this is something that I talk to players all the time about, just in terms of having to shift that focus. Like, how do you personally try to like live through that world?
Well, I look at it in a very positive manner, actually. Having change of environment can actually help you boost your concentration, your mood, your shape. And thinking about it, like, playing games is actually what you want to do as well. I've been on the sideline, so I know all about it, missing out. And so actually getting as many games and have that competitiveness week in and week out is something we work for, you know. Like, we train and we train and we train, and all you want to do is to compete and play those games. So I look at it in a very positive manner. It's all about being professional, you know, taking care of your body, taking care of your mind, those small details that can allow you to actually be at a high level game in and game out.
Yeah. All right, there is something that I really want to talk to you about. I have found that digging into like one topic with players has been really interesting. And I know media coverage is something that you really care about in terms of platform, right? Like, we're only now kind of reaping all the benefits of like actually being able to watch Champions League in the United States, right? And so in terms of accessibility is kind of like front and center, that first part of it. From your side of things in terms of, you know, new audiences, the fact that games can actually be watched in a pretty easy fashion right now, what are you seeing from the player side in terms of maybe some of the effect that it's having to your level?
Buzzing. Seriously, I feel like we've all been thirsty about this for so many years now. DAZN coming in, giving us a platform. It should definitely give us a motivational boost. We've trained so hard for this, and now the platform is given to us, and should put the positive pressure as well, you know, on our shoulders. We want to perform in order to make people watch the next game. And I think that's our job in this. It's to develop the game, train even smarter, be even more, performing even more. That's our job, really, you know, like we're almost like artists. It's all about inspiring people when you're on the pitch. And I think that that's our biggest responsibility, is to show good football in order to grow the game even more.
Just in terms of, obviously, DAZN showing games, like there's multiple layers to kind of the coverage part of the game, right? And thinking about, you know, even maybe the past decade or so, right? We're only just kind of starting to see the investment come in finally in a very meaningful way. I mean, like I remember watching U.S. Women's National Team games on pay-per-view here in the United States. It was like you were following dots on a screen, right? Like, and it just, it feels very different in terms of actually being able to watch the games. But I don't know if we're quite there yet in terms of like the infrastructure part on meaningful coverage, right? Like the journalism, the writing, all of that kind of stuff. And that's been, you know, it's interesting to have this conversation as someone who's on that side with you. How are you kind of navigating that part of it, especially because I think your story is so interesting, right? Like there is that kind of trust that has to be built a little bit in this space still, right? Like you have to trust someone with your story. You have to trust someone with a conversation. So what, you know, do you have any suggestions, honestly, for us as a player?
Well, you've been in the game for a long while, so you got your experience in this as well. But yeah. I genuinely think that it's a collective responsibility, and we all want the best results, you know. And that's how I like to think about it when I talk to journalists. I think there's 100% possibility to maintain a critical interview section without losing the respect for each other. And as an athlete, I want to be respected for the woman and the athlete I am. But I also respect the journalist in front of me, because I depend on that journalist to write about my biggest passion in order to also get women's football on stage. So I look at it as a partnership, really. I want to give you the good stuff, but I want you to treat the good stuff I give you in the right manner. And unfortunately, in the world in general, there's always going to be clickbaits, there's going to be headlines. So I've been through it all in terms of media. Obviously, I'm very conscious about the situation, but it doesn't stop me from saying my honest opinion. Because I think that's very refreshing. I think it's very important to speak out about your thoughts, to have an impact on things as well. But, you know, like I met all types of journalists. I met those who were concentrated about one thing, and it's to have their own clickbait. And that's the reality. I just adapt to the situation and still try to maintain myself as the woman I am.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
Just in terms of, I mean, also, like, there's a global factor for you, right? Like, I remember writing an article, God, this was really early on in my time at The Athletic, but obviously covering the U.S. Women's National Team, right? Like, I've been covering this kind of protest for equal treatment for years and following a loss, you know, there's so many different elements. And when there's a lot of nuance in a situation, right? Like, a lot of people try to dial down the U.S. National Team stuff into, like, hashtag equal pay. And it's like, there's a whole story there, right? And then to put it into this global conversation of not just what's happening with you in Norway, but, you know, Venezuela, all these other countries, right, that are going through their own thing, Australia, like there's so many stories and trying to navigate this global movement within women's football, you know, the story is not just this tidy little line. And I'm just, in terms of like what you've been watching from the U.S. team, from other countries, like what have you maybe taken away from those stories where we've gotten it right, we've gotten it wrong?
Well, I don't think it's about right or wrong in this subject. It's about we're all kind of facing the same challenges being a woman's athlete, especially being a woman's footballer in a very man-dominated world. I have huge amount of respect for the women's athlete that I've observed during the years, speaking up for their sports, for themselves, demanding respect for the athletes they are. Because being a woman today, having your opinions or on stuff is a tricky case, and you're gonna face criticism. You're gonna face criticism also because you're a woman. It's very what can I say, sensible for me to say that, but I think that's the truth in a lot of cases. But that's why you need to kind of like build momentum and courage from each other's stories and actually come together and think we're actually facing the same challenges, and it's all about supporting each other in it, learn from each other's experience in order to push the sports even further. So I think, I mean, US has a very has had a very bit long discussion ongoing towards equal pay. That's one side of it, but in the end, also there's a question about respect. I haven't been much vocal about financial side of it. I've been very vocal about earning, getting that respect that young girls today deserve. I don't think we deserve, like, we give young girls the respect they deserve by not putting the same demands to them like we do with young boys. So I like to really talk about the grassroots part of it, because I think that's where we also build quality in the long term.
Yeah, I mean, I remember talking to so many players who have, you know, been in the NWSL or, you know, that I've run across, and then they go into coaching and then they have these horror stories of like, yeah, we had this field booked, right? And then the boy showed up and then the field is gone, right? Like, well, okay, we're done here, I guess, you know, no practice for us. You know, it's still like, that is also, I think, still very much a factor kind of across the board. And you can have these big moments, like 99 World Cup here in the US was obviously this very formative event. But then actually getting all of the infrastructure in place, right, for actual development of the game at the grassroots level, that's the grind that follows.
That's the grind, and that's what I'm keep on being vocal about, because it hurts me to see that on the end of the, like, if you look at it, a pyramid, like seeing at the bottom of the pyramid, things are not correctly done, and obviously it's a non-profit level. It should be an environment where you actually have equal opportunities. And I like to see it in a player's aspect. Like, I want to see football grow as a sport. I want the level to be higher in the future. And you can, like, speaks for itself. If you start to teach a young girl at 6 years old how to shoot a pass rather than starting when she's 20, like, the level is going to be better as well. Like, it's all about giving them an opportunity, an environment to express themselves, and put the same demands, like, girls want to be taken seriously in order to grow, in order to gain confidence.
Yeah, I think it's so, this conversation is so interesting because I think here in the States, there is such a focus on making the business case for women's soccer. Like that has been the conversation for so long here in terms of, you know, the league has to survive, equal pay, right? Like what are the sponsorships like? And there's this whole other conversation that is happening, but maybe not with the same level of focus of what are we doing to grow the game? What does the product look like? Like that's kind of, I think, my particular thing, especially when it comes to the NWSL. You can get all the sponsorships you want, but the game has to be good.
Exactly.
At the end of the day, too.
No, but I think I'll let you finish.
Yeah, I just like said that, hey, it's a podcast. That's what we're here to do. I think it just really is interesting because I think sometimes we do swing one to one particular side in this country, and it's hard to get people interested in both the smaller stuff, right? Like that state level of growth, getting kids into the game. Like how are you recruiting, especially for us here? Like there's a lot of factors that go into that. And that's the stuff that's harder maybe to pull people in and have that conversation and get it covered, because it's not, oh, the players are suing their own federation. And how do we shift that conversation?
Mm. Well, it's a tricky thing because I obviously understand the subject. I completely understand it. But it's just that both things are important. But I think that looking at the end of the pyramid also can allow you to build on the momentum in an ecological way at a later term. I think that if you start building them while they're young, giving them an environment, starting to be very serious, it's all about education, really, like changing people's mentality. And obviously, looking at the situation today in Europe, we're still at the point where we profit from men's clubs. We're not there yet. We're not there to be able to build our own ecological model. We still need that help to get that push to get there. But doesn't mean that we're not getting there. Like, I mean, DAZN is coming in with a platform now where people are being able to see the games, and the response has been massive, like over 14 million views. Like, it shows that if you build it, the right type of model, I mean, people are going to want the product. So I think that it's just wrong from the beginning of. I think that we're being disrespectful about young girls from day one, and it just moves up on that ladder because you start from day one not taking them seriously. So there's a lot of things to shake up in the organizations yet, in how we look on things, on how to change mentalities. So got a long way to go, but it doesn't mean that we're not getting there.
Yeah. I mean, I think it is always really important to understand like just the growth of the sport, right? And do you see just, you know, I think here we talk a lot about kind of the inflection points of a World Cup, right? 99 is obviously a big thing, but the big conversation already that's happening here is the U.S., Canada, Mexico hosting the 2026 World Cup, right? And what kind of bump and influence that's going to have on the sport, and also how the women's side of the game is going to take advantage of a men's World Cup. But in kind of the European game, obviously there's a lot more competitions, right? Thinking about Euros coming up this summer in England too, and how other countries can take advantage of that boost, even if they're not necessarily hosting. Like, what are you seeing in terms of like the top level of the game being able to impact that grassroots level?
It's very important. I think tournaments has always been a very important factor in terms of developing the infrastructure in certain countries. You could see it from like Italy was an example of that, I think, from the 2019 World Cup, where they did pretty decent and kind of like shook up things a little bit in their home country. After saying that as well, it's so important to state that I feel like we kind of have a tendency to lose that momentum going away from these tournaments. I feel like we get back into our clubs, you get all these amazing clubs, all these amazing players in these top clubs, and you just lose the momentum. Like you don't have the same audience at the games week in and week out. You don't have the same media pressure that you want to have. So obviously there's some work to do to keep that moment alive, because tournaments are not a problem. Like, they're always great, like, well organized, a lot of media attention, a lot of people coming to the games. So that's been a factor for many years, but keeping that rhythm alive has been very challenging.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Yeah, what is it like? I mean, I've been to Lyon for the 2019 World Cup. I have not obviously had the chance to go for a club game, but what is it like going from, you know, an international sort of thing to coming back to, like, what is the media presence at a regular, typical Lyon, like, league game, maybe versus even a Champions League one?
Oh, it's a much more pressure, much more things moving. And I got to say, that's what you want as a player as well. It's a bit special, obviously, Lyon. I feel like we've been on the top for many years now. I don't know if people expect us to win every year. Like, hello, we actually work very hard to win these trophies. But you know, like, sometimes you just fall into a rhythm and you need to kind of like break the rhythm a little bit in order to get refreshments. I don't know, but obviously a normal week where we might play a team in the league who's not PSG compared to a Champions League week is obviously completely different, which is normal. I get that too.
Yeah.
But how can you kind of like create more daily pressure or weekly pressure? That would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the challenges here too, is, you know, U.S. national team is always going to get attention, right? And how do you, you know, make sure that people are showing up for a Wednesday night league game? I think that is kind of where we're at in terms of the development of coverage. But I think, you know, it is just always, I think, super interesting to kind of compare notes across countries, because I do think that, you know, we think that we're in our own special little space, and then you look across and you're like, oh no, you're doing the same. Same deal.
We're actually doing something in Europe too, guys.
Yeah, same thing. It's,
we got
it's
some
all happening.
Great football going on yeah. over here as well.
But see, that's the thing. Like, now we could actually watch it. Like, that's, exactly. I think, but I think that's also really important for folks to not lose yeah. sight of too, is that it's not even necessarily a competition in terms of eyeballs, right? Like, that now we can watch Champions League and NWSL in the United States, right? Like, we're going to be able to be far more global in our viewing habits. And that's honestly a benefit for everyone, because it's only going to up the game.
Absolutely.
For all of these different leagues.
Absolutely. Football to the people. That's what I'm saying. Like, give it to them. And like, getting back to the subject we were talking about as well, I think that people don't just show up to games just to see a game of football anymore. I think it's much more about that. I think it's much more about the scenery that the game is put in, having a proper stadium, having a professional setting around it. I think people are coming to actually be entertained in some way and to actually have a good time. So obviously there's a great deal of work to do still in terms of getting clubs into a much more professional side, giving girls and the players a nice pitch where the football actually can be better in terms of quality, proper locker rooms, proper conditions where people actually want to show up to.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, respect, right? That is, you know, minimum standards have always been a thing that women's football have. it has been a journey unto itself,
it has,
to say the least.
And we're still on that journey, going upwards.
I mean, in terms of like when you started, have you seen like a significant difference in terms of, oh, the locker rooms have gotten better, or, oh, the flights have gotten better? I mean, I feel like Lyon is probably setting a pretty good and healthy standard across the board. But, you know, from day one to now, I feel like there's got to be at least a little difference in what you've lived through.
I promise you, like, I remember some years before I came to Lyon, the team didn't even have a locker room. So obviously the development has been enormous. It's like Jean-Michel Lass just took this team on a trip and never looked back kind of vibe. But the problem is that I would have wished having so many more clubs having that same development, especially in France, where I played for 8 years now. It's pretty sad to say, but I've been here for 8 years and I have not seen the development I would love to see in different clubs. I would definitely love for other clubs to take the example of Jean-Michel Aulas and just shake up things, because I really think that the players deserve more. They deserve a professional everyday environment. And I wish that just so many more players than us in Lyon would profit from that.
Yeah, I mean, to your point, right? We talk about World Cups, right? France hosting 2019. I think the mental math is like, oh, World Cup hosting, you're going to get this influx of investment following. And I think we've seen a little bit, but still, in terms of like league top to bottom, France is still, I think, a work in progress. Although it does sound like they're going to bid for the next round of Euros. So.
Yeah, but just leave it by that. I will get in trouble if I speak too much more about this subject.
All right. Just in terms of, I think, like, overall global picture, right? Like, thinking about the development of the game, the fact that we can watch games more easily, like, overall, are you optimistic in terms of the path that we're on?
Yes. We gotta be optimistic. That's why I always try to turn the situation around. Like, obviously, I try to look back on things, seeing how things were. And we got to a place. It just takes time and patience, but also impatience. I think impatience is important in this as well. And we all got a role in it. I think as a player, from a player's perspective, we need to take this very seriously. I mean, we all take our choices. Like, we could focus on the sports, which I respect, but it's much, much more than that as well. I think like we have huge responsibility on keeping that subject hot for so many years to come. Perform in order to have that position to speak. I couldn't be able to speak up like I do in order, like, if I didn't perform. So that's my motivation number one. But we need to shake up things. We need to continue to raise the voices together and push for it. I mean, it won't happen by itself. You need to have an offensive spirit in order to push for things.
All right. Well, I think that's a perfect place to end it. Hopefully everyone walks away from this feeling motivated to do their little part.
Everything doesn't have to be diplomatic, guys. I'm kidding.
We can get spicy. Yeah. We'll just get a little bit of spice. It'll be fine.
I'm kidding.
All right. Well, thank you so much for all of the time and good luck this week as well. So we will be watching.
Very good.
That's the joy.
I'm just so glad you all be watching. It shows that we're onto something. So happy to have viewers from the US.
All right. So thank you for her time. Again, it's always just really fun to reach out past the world of NWSL and the U.S. Women's National Team and get some of these conversations in, whether they're on the podcast, wherever they're happening. It's just so important to make sure that we're all actually talking to each other. Now, if you are paying attention to my leg saga after breaking both my tibia and fibula while on a ski race course, as one does, the joy of my week this week is getting not just the clearance to wear two sneakers again. I am now free of the walking boot in theory, but I'm also allowed to take Advil again and travel for work. So really, I got the trifecta of things I was hoping for. Also, we'll be able to get back on the bike a little bit more regularly. So it's a good week here on the injury front, at least. All right. For all things full-time, you can visit fulltimepod.com. There are links for all the major podcast platforms in one spot, plus more information. And if you'd like to subscribe to The Athletic and support all of our women's soccer coverage, you can do that right now at theathletic.com/fulltime. My name is Meg. You have been listening to Full Time with Meg Linehan. You can always find me on Twitter and Instagram at It's Meg Linehan and my work at The Athletic. Full Time doesn't exist without the work and support of senior podcast producer Michael Zimmerman. From The Athletic, I'm Meg, and thank you for listening.